We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Last week, Marty started our new sermon series, Radicalis. It's a 14th century English word that, like so much that we translate into our modern day language, loses something. We translate the common word radical to it, but it's a little closer to something like being rooted or back to the root. And that's the reason that Marty has chosen this, is it's a call for us to return to our Christian roots, to come back to where we came from, to be with Christ deeply and truly, to be rooted in the Christian faith. With that, he talked about radicals as examples. Marty used free radicals in chemistry and radicals in nature and radical in math. But there are radicals that exist in human form as well. Tomorrow we celebrate the birthday of one of the great radicals of American history, and Dr. Martin Luther King. But as we do that, it's easy to forget that in his day, they weren't so sure. Not only was he a radical, he was considered to be dangerous. Even our president, John F. Kennedy, was concerned that Dr. King might be being influenced by the communists, and he was followed and investigated by the FBI and vilified in the media. And this worked, believe it or not. As Dr. King was preparing to bring his message to the North, his message of inequality in housing, in bank loans and in jobs, a Gallup poll was taken, and 63% of Americans had a poor opinion of Dr. King. They weren't quite sure what it is or whether or not they trusted his message. In fact, Dr. King was looked at as a radical. He believed that America needed a radical change, a radical redistribution of our wealth and our political power. He challenged America's class system and our racial caste system that isn't quite gone yet. He was a strong ally of workers' rights, and as a result, he was assassinated in April of 1968, 50 years ago this year, in Memphis, Tennessee, as he had gone there in support of a sanitation worker strike. He was a radical in the truest sense of the word. Marty challenges all of us to become radical followers of Christ. He and I are making a commitment both to ourselves and to each of you here in public to be radical in our faith in Jesus Christ, to be radical in how we go about living out our lives as Christians. Not casual, but in the style of radicalis. The first step in becoming a radical Christian is to accept that grace that Marty talked about to us last week, that unmerited, undeserved, unearned grace from God that is poured out on us at a great cost to Him. We've got to be willing to accept that grace and to understand that we are a forgiven people, or we'll never make it very far. Our roots won't be able to grow very deep. But once we've accepted that grace of God, our natural inclination from that, well, anytime that you receive a gift, your first thought is to say thank you, to have gratitude for having received this great gift from God. It's a natural reaction. It's our first inclination. It's that joy that fills our heart when we're in the presence of God, to be thankful for that grace that has poured out on us. Being grateful is not a job or a responsibility that we're taking on. It's simply what a Christian turns to do. You see, God's command to be thankful is not an order from a tyrant or a vengeful God. In fact, it's an amazing invitation for us to draw close to our own salvation anytime we want. Being grateful for that is perfectly normal. Being grateful as a Christian is something that we work on. And as a Christian, it's something that we should nurture and water and dress and eventually even harvest. Gratitude gets at the very root of our Christian faith. To be able to express our gratitude takes our focus off ourselves, takes the focus off whatever problems we may have, and perhaps even the pain that we are in. When we begin to understand that we have been created and are finite beings that have fallen and been forgiven and resurrected and sustained, well, sort of makes everything else sort of fall to the side. To be grateful reminds us that God is in control, that it's God who offers us this grace, and that gratitude is a healthy and beneficial reaction for all of us. It reminds us of the big picture, that there's more to life than whatever obstacles it is there are and may be tripping us up. But being thankful is an absolutely normal response to God's saving grace. I suppose that it's the opposite of being ungrateful, which certainly is not going to do much to help us in our current lives. But I do understand that life's tough. There are things that are going to trip us up. There are going to be problems that we have to face. And it's hard to be grateful all the time. It's just not always that easy. But there is an anonymous saying that I absolutely love. It says that if you can't be grateful for what you have, be grateful for what you've escaped. And I know that's very true in my life, the things that I have dodged through the years. Gratitude. Well, even when we're in the midst of those difficult times, gratitude doesn't wait for good things to come along. Gratitude doesn't wait for everything to be perfect in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us that praise God in all things. It didn't say praise God for all things. It says to praise for the God that exists in all things. You see, some of you know that I spend some time in hospitals visiting the sick and the ill and those in pain, and mostly our church people, but I do get the opportunity to visit others as well sometimes. But most of the people that I see, whether they admit it or not, are afraid. They're afraid of a bad diagnosis. They're afraid the treatments that they're receiving won't work. They're afraid of what might happen. I think they're afraid of not being in control. And mostly that they're afraid of the unknown. And it's my great blessing, I'm fortunate enough to be able to sit with many of these people as they suffer and live in fear. To sit with them and to be with them as we look for God in that situation, to see where God is with them. I've done this literally hundreds of times in my ministry, to be there with people that are hurting. And you know, I don't think that in any of that time that I ever have prayed thanking God for that situation that they were in. You know what? I don't think I ever will either. But what I do is I pray for our faith. Because I've never been in a hospital room. I've never been at a sick bed when God wasn't in the room. So that's why I pray for our faith and for our trust, that we might be willing to lean into those loving, grace-filled arms that God offers to us. I pray that we might be willing to trust God to be with us, to look for the God that is in every situation. Because we know that we're to be grateful to God in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 again at verse 16 says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." Not always easy to be thankful when we're in the midst of a difficult time, a time when we're suffering, and these difficulties of stress and illness that we face. There are only a few things that separate us from being grateful to God in our lives. It's hard to say thank you to God when we're suffering. What we can do is look for the good in every situation that we face. There are difficult problems that we've got. It may be hard to find God. But we will always have that free gift of God's grace, no matter what, being offered to us to sustain us and to carry us. We will always be able to praise God for simply being with us. And I know we struggle. The things that we experience in our lives are difficult. It's simply beyond our capacity, I think, to be grateful for everything in all times. But we can look for God in all times. You see, I think that what we focus on is what becomes magnified in our lives. It's what we become consumed by. If you spend your long days thinking about your illness or how you hurt or how fat you are or what a lousy job you've got or how hard school has become or what brats your own children have become, well, when those things come to life, it makes them be true. You see, I've always found complaining to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if we turn it just a little bit, it becomes harder to complain if we've been focused on the good. If we'll think about that one part of our body that doesn't hurt, if we'll think about having lost that 1 or 2 pounds, or focus on that part of our body that we think happens to look pretty good, or if we'll think about how great it is to be able to leave that job at the end of the day and go home to a wonderful family or to do something fun or to think about when those children were younger and how beautiful and what a delight that they were in your lives, then that too becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right now, you're sitting here today, think to yourselves, is there someone or something that you could be grateful for, that you might be able to send an email, a tweet, a text, a Snapchat, or write a letter, or God forbid you go see them and tell them in person to say thank you for something that they have done. You see, it takes practice to be grateful. To be thankful, it's just like any other good habit. It takes practice. Now, how you practice being grateful is a whole other story. I was able to find a few words of wisdom from Dr. Robert Emmons, who's a professor of psychology at the University of California. He gave us four ideas, and of course, the first is just that, to say thank you, to find that person that has done something, no matter how small or how large, that has meant something to you, something that you are grateful for, and to tell them in whatever format you can how much you appreciate it and why it was important to you. You can say thank you. Another idea he said was to start a gratitude journal. Now, I'm terrible at journaling, but what he suggested is that at the end of the day, you write down at least one thing that you were grateful for that day. It can be a small thing. It can be a large thing. The trick is to make sure that it's something different every day. To say thank you, to start a gratitude journal. You can start reminders for yourself. Send yourself a text or an email or some kind of message to remind you to be grateful. Maybe you could carry a rock in your pocket, and each time you touch it, you can remember that you need to be grateful. Our children's director, Leah, has been known to go to the ladies' restroom with a pad of Post-it notes and to write inspirational messages on those and stick them to the mirror and encourage people to take them with them as they leave. So I've been told. I don't know, have any firsthand knowledge of this. But you can do that for yourself. You can put a note on the refrigerator or find a way to trigger your own memory to be grateful. Well, if you can't say thank you and you don't want to do a gratitude journal and Post-it notes don't work for you, then I have a guaranteed way for you to feel grateful. Do something for somebody else. Volunteer. Do something good. You be the good that exists in this world, and I promise you, no matter that person's reaction, that you will be filled with gratitude, and you will be filled with that grace of God in your life. There was a radical guy in the early church, the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church in Philippi one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. It's Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. That's what Paul was talking to us about. And no, I know we're not all Paul. We're not able to be quite as upbeat and to carry forward on that. But what you can think about are our ancestors, those that came down for thousands of years who have fought for the right to be able to worship and to be grateful to God. Those that have carried forth the flames of our faith so that we today might be able to say thank you. They fought, they were beaten, they were imprisoned, they were starved, and they were even killed. All so that we could say thank you to God. They lived as radicalis. Let us be grateful for their lives. Amen. Join me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the love and the peace and the grace of God fill you and go with you as you leave this place today. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that would ever make God love you any less. because God doesn't see the mistakes we make. God looks at us and simply says that we are the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine if you left here knowing that you live a grace-filled life and we're grateful to God and to one another for that? I think you'd have a great week.